Grand slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Craig Wolfley. He's a 12-year veteran of the NFL who played 10 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers and 2 years with the Minnesota Vikings. Craig was selected in 2000 as a member of the Steelers All-Century team, voted online by Pittsburgh fans as a team of the best players to ever wear a Steeler uniform. He played on some great teams in the Steel City and does some great work with the homeless. We'll talk about that in the second half of the show. I'd like to bring into the discussion Craig Wolfley. Craig, welcome to Blessed to Play.
How you doing, brother? Good to talk with you.
I'm doing very well, and it's been said that the percentage to make it to the highest level of sports is below 1%, but you and your brother made it to the NFL, grew up in Buffalo, New York, so talk about where the passion came into playing football, and there was some competitive desire along the way. Who instilled that in both of you?
Well, you know what, I think my mom has always been so competitive. You know, I got two brothers, Ron and Dale, and Dale also was a football player, played at WVU. It didn't turn out for Dale as far as the NFL, but he went on to some other things. He became a professional bodyguard, traveled with Prince and a number of other bands. So he went his own way. But certainly, I would tell you, growing up in Orchard Park, New York, I've got two brothers, two sisters, and we grew up 2.4 miles from the Bills Stadium there in Orchard Park. And football was just always something I loved. I watched it with my dad on Sundays, grew up watching it. And for some reason, God put it in my heart at the age of 7. I took my mom aside and told her I was going to be a professional football player someday. So I don't know, but God manifested that in my life and gave it into my life, put it in my brain at a very early age.
Well, I don't know if your mom had anything to do with this, but you didn't stray too far from home. You went to Syracuse to play your collegiate football. And first of all, who else was in the running? And did your mom have any influence in keeping you close to home?
No, actually, here's the deal. When it's the only girl at the dance, that's the one you dance with, brother.
Is that right?
It wasn't like I was wildly recruited a top five, whatever. But I had a cousin who actually played for Syracuse and was a member of the Syracuse football team, and Donnie McGee. And so I gravitated towards that. And then there were some other ones that came along later. You know, I heard a little bit from West Virginia later on. But Syracuse was really the only one there that really came out. They wanted me. And one thing I learned very early on as far as the recruiting process, you don't go to the one that you want. You go to the one that really wants you.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes all the difference in the world.
So when you're at Syracuse, did you have your eyes set on the NFL? I mean, when did this desire, this passion, knowledge of your skill set, when did this come and say, hey, I got a shot to really play at the next level?
You know, it's funny because I always had it going through high school. There's nothing that really stood out about me, certainly. I mean, I was only 235 going into my senior year, I think it was, 225, 235, right in that area. It wasn't like I was some genetic mutation that would draw in a ton of recruiters. I was simply a fact that I loved football. I believed that for whatever reason, God instilled in me that I was going to go on and play at a higher level. And, it just... one thing kept turning into another, and it's like God kept opening doors, and you just keep walking through them, and I don't know how to say it any better than it's kind of like I just blindly follow his leading, and you just go through it, and you do it.
Yeah, it sounds like your path was being set, and you just followed along. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Craig Wolfley. He played a number of years for the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, he's a radio analyst on the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network. And let's talk about the NFL draft in 1980. You went in round 5. I believe you were the 138th pick overall. This had to be a tremendous day for you, Craig, to know that you would play at the next level. And talk about when you heard that the Pittsburgh Steelers picked you to play for them.
You know, it's so funny, Rob, because my draft day story is really like everybody else's. You know, you're standing around. I was told that I was going to be a second day guy. Back then, there was only 12 rounds, 2 days, and I would probably be not taken before the ninth round and probably a good chance that I'd be a free agent. So I really wasn't expecting much the first day. Matter of fact, I mean, my grandma called like 45 times or something on the first day. You know, you're kind of hanging around. It wasn't like the draft nowadays. It's a whole big production. It was a lot smaller back then. So you're sitting around, and finally, I think it was around 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere where the draft was ending. I was a little frustrated because I was still hoping beyond hoping I'd hear from somebody. And so I started for the door. I was going out. I heard the phone ring, and that my sister answered it, and I didn't pay any attention. I just walked out. I went walking down through a gravel pit at the end of our road. There's a whole farming area over there. So I was down there, and all of a sudden, I hear this whooping and yelling and stuff. And here's my mom and my couple of crazy sisters driving the car, fishtailing down this dirt road, and they, you know, they pull up. And I'm going, what in the world are you guys doing here? Pittsburgh Steelers called, and I had left the house, so I wasn't there. But here's the funny part about it. My goofy sister, who was Joy, who was like, I don't know, 12 at the time or something like that. I guess what happened was that phone call came in, and she's talking for a minute or two with somebody on there. And so my mom finally said, Joy, who are you talking to? And she put her hand over the mouthpiece, and she said, I don't know, some guy from Pittsburgh named Chuck. And of course, that would be the great Chuck Knoll, who was the coach of the Steelers back then.
Well, let's talk about Chuck Knoll. Here you go. You start your career in Pittsburgh. You're playing for a no-nonsense coach who demands a lot of you, who's very strict on discipline. And was that an eye-opening experience for you? Or I don't know how that played out for you while you were at Syracuse. But talk about the initial Chuck Knoll experience.
Well, my initial Chuck Knoll experience actually happened in the spring of my senior year. He actually came to Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, to Syracuse to work me out. And it was really kind of funny because, you know, I figured Pittsburgh was off the board, and I'll tell you why. He came to the field house, and so we worked one-on-one. Now, Coach Knoll was a very hands-on guy. Mm-hmm. So in working out an offensive lineman, he's going to get down, and he's going to teach you how he perceives, you know, the art of the punch. That just became a big thing then. They had ruled out, you know, putting your hands up to your chest and being a human heavy bag on 2 feet, that now you can, in the NFL, punch in 1980. So he was teaching me the punch, and he's trying to, and he's pass rushing me. Now think about this. You're me, Craig Wolfley, just a kid from Buffalo, New York. The Steelers had just won their fourth Super Bowl of the 70s, and you've got a guy you just watched in the Super Bowl coaching the Steelers, and he's there working you out one-on-one. And you're like, I was boggled, really. I mean, it was really a little overwhelming. So here he is. He's pass rushing me, and he's hit me with a club or whatever. He's telling me, you got to punch me. And I'm like, how do you punch a guy who's like a hero here? I mean, you know, what do you do? And so I was really conflicted here. And he pass rushed, and he goes, no, you got to punch me harder. And so finally, it came to the point, he looked at me, which what I would realize was, you know, later on, he's getting that look in his face like, are you getting this? And finally, I was sitting there thinking to myself, if I don't punch him, he's going to be really upset. He's going to think I can't do it. So I got down my stance, he gets over me, and he gives me a pass rush, and I punch him hard, and my hand goes from his shoulder right into his grill. I mean, I hit him right in the mush. It was like his head popped back like a Pez dispenser. He didn't even go back that far back in time to remember what those were like. And all of a sudden he stops, and I see this glare come over his eyes. What I noticed was the bulldog look, which I would come to know in the next decade of playing for him as he looks at me. And he's bleeding from the mouth. And he stops, he looks at me, and all of a sudden he just kind of smiles. He looks at me and he goes, now that's a punch. I walked out of the field house. I called my mom and dad, and I go, well, you can take Pittsburgh off the board because I just punched Chuck in the mouth and drew blood. So he ain't going to draft me. But sure enough, he drafted me a few months later.
Yeah, that's a great story. Thus, the relationship began. Blessed to play Ron Meyer once again chatting with Craig Wolfley, longtime Pittsburgh Steeler radio analyst on the Pittsburgh Steeler Radio Network. And let's talk about these. I mean, you spent a good chunk of time with Chuck, I should say, in Pittsburgh. And Craig, back then, football was different. Of course, 100 yards, you're playing with a pigskin. There was no concussion protocol. There wasn't a tent. You could hit the quarterback rather with some ferocity, I would say. talk about playing, how the game has changed. I mean, you played back in the day when football was really a mean, mean game.
You know, you're exactly right, Ron. It's a different ball game now. I mean, I played back when the Orcs and Elves were battling over Middle Earth. I mean, that's how far back I go, right? So I remember my second year in the league, we actually ended up playing in Tennessee at the World's Fair. We played the Patriots in a preseason game. It was in Knoxville, Tennessee. And after the first series, I became a starter then. So we had the ball, went on a drive, and about the third or fourth play, I got my bell rung pretty good, seeing stars and some other stuff. So I came off the field, when we punted, we didn't make the first down. So I come off the field, the doctor grabs me, he goes, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, of course I'm okay." He goes, "You sure?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you know where you're at?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm in Nashville." He goes, "Oh, we're in Knoxville, but it's pretty close, same state. Yeah, you're good, you know?" And that was the medical concussion protocol back in the early 80s. Not a problem. You know, the game has changed so much, and yes, it's not quite as violent as it used to be. That was the one thing I know that certainly in my day, that's what attracted me so much to the game, was the sheer violence and the mayhem and the fun and the chaos of playing a game so great as professional football was back then.
Yeah, and I don't want to make light of it because there's a number of retired NFL players who suffer some concussion syndrome, which has really changed their life. But back in the day, it was a little bit of smelling salt, and there you go. You're right back on the field. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, Craig Wolfley, he's reaching out to the homeless, those marginalized in our society. We'll find out more about that when Blessed to Play returns after this.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number, 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
EWTN Radio brings you the Holy Rosary twice each day for over 25 years. Tune in every morning for Mother Angelica and every evening for Father Benedict Groeschel, only on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Craig Wolfley. He played 12 years in the NFL, 10 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, had a little stint in Minnesota with the Vikings, and now he's part of the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network. He's an analyst. He used to be, I would call him a sideline reporter. He was always on the sidelines with the headset on, giving you some of the action on the field, but I don't know if you do that anymore, Craig, with coronavirus, but that was quite a broadcast when you were on the field and throwing it back to the booth with your perceptions of what's going on in the field. Craig is also involved with a lot of outreaches, and one of them is the Light of Life Rescue Mission in Pittsburgh. And this is a national show, so many people will not be familiar with that, but it reaches out to the homeless. It's a Christ-centered care. And helping those marginalized, Craig, I know faith. Let's talk about faith first. Has this always been part of your life?
You know, since I was, about 8 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. It was a Sunday school paper. I read it, talked about a new world. I remember talking to my mom, said, is the new world come? She says, this, Jesus is coming back someday, and yes. I said, well, you're going to be there, right? She said, yes, and Dad, yep. And so I'll be there, right? And she said, well, let's talk about it. And I gave my life to Christ at that point in time after my mother had laid out the path of salvation to me. And that has changed my life, obviously, and it's been a long walk.
And I know you've been willing to talk about it. In fact, a past guest on this show, Tunch Ilkin, who played with you in Pittsburgh, and he talked about how you brought him to faith. In fact, I think Tunch grew up as a Muslim or some non-Christian faith, and you had many talks with him. So you were willing to share your faith even during your playing days with the Steelers.
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, I mean, there's a point in time where, you know, Jesus takes such hold of you. It's such a part of your life. It's who you are. It's not what you do. It's not what you, quote unquote, believe. It's who you are, and who you are in Christ is Christ lives in you. I live in Christ. God is part of my every waking moment and every sleeping moment that I live. And I, he shared that with Tunch many, many years ago. And he was, he was born in Istanbul, Turkey. Mm-hmm. His parents were Muslim, and he was a Muslim. And we shared a lot. We became, you know, partners and buddies and brothers. And at some point in time, having shared faith with him, he was, and at one point in time, you know, he just committed his life to Christ. And it was just the greatest thing. And he has affected so many lives. He has been such a blessing to so very many people. And, you know, he is a shining light of God, and you can see Jesus working in him.
Yeah, and you guys are certainly well-known in Pittsburgh, and obviously you're reaching out to those who probably a lot of people don't want to get to know. So talk about your outreach with Light of Life Rescue in Pittsburgh and, you know, trying to take care of the homeless.
You know, it's funny because back when you're players, everybody wants you to be part of their charitable organization, you know, so there's a lot of opportunities to do some really great stuff and to be part of a lot of organizations, and they'll have some very nice stuff and fundraisers and all, lots of kind of neat, you know. And so Tunch got involved with Light of Life Rescue Mission, which is on the north side in Pittsburgh, and they've been doing God's work there since, late 50s, early 60s. I mean, just transforming lives. Helping people get back on their feet and bringing the love of Jesus, being the hands and feet of Jesus to the homeless. Mm-hmm. And so Tunch got involved, and he'd been there a little while, a couple of years, and he's like, you know, you need to get involved with this too. I go, well, you know, everybody's got a charity, you know, and I was doing this and that, and he's doing it. And he said, no, listen to me. He said, come on down to Light of Life. He says, once you go through those doors, your worldview changes. I go, all right, I come down. Well, he got me down there on a Thanksgiving day during our playing careers. And we're, you know, we go down there, and it's a cold, snowy Thanksgiving day. And I've seen a homeless guy, homeless gal, homeless couple. The first time I came face-to-face with a homeless family. Mm-hmm. And two kids, two boys that were, neither one could have been over eight with a mom and dad. And they had died over where they were out on the streets, and they came in, and it was amazing because it did completely change my worldview of what I, you know, how I saw things. So that's when I got involved in Light of Life, and they are amazing people. I mean, they minister to people who are the addicted, the lost, the ones that are just falling between the cracks, and they bring the love of Jesus to them. In Pittsburgh and surrounding areas, it's a tremendous, tremendous place. I mean, they feed 300 to 350 meals a day, 377,000 in 2020 alone. You know, I mean, they've got 22 beds available nightly. They do three chapel services every day. I mean, there's just so much that they do. And so, yeah, I love these people. They're amazing.
Yeah, with all the division that is being pitted in the media and having people against one another, there's some great work going on in these cities where people are coming together. But you don't hear too much of that in the news, do you? And that is the good news that it is going on. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting once again with Craig Wolfley, longtime Pittsburgh Steeler, part of the Pittsburgh Steeler Radio Network. Craig, I didn't know this about you, but you were part of the World's Strongest Man competition. You competed in a sumo contest. You hold a black belt in jiu-jitsu. You know, when people think of Christianity, they think they're kind of maybe a soft element to the person. But you're really a man's man. You've been doing some really stuff that involves some physicality. Do you see a conflict? Obviously, you don't see a conflict, but talk about being a Christian, man and participating in all this?
No, not at all. You know, I think of David and Samson and the men of old, and, you know, that they're pretty active, you know, and I don't, what can I say? You know, I loved challenges growing up, and I'm almost 63 and my days of challenge are pretty much behind me, you know. But the fact was, I loved to challenge myself, and whether it was the world's strongest man, the NFL strongest man, if it was, I competed, this is a really bad visual, but I competed in professional sumo. Whoa, that's a bad visual. But, you know, I've had a lifetime of being able to compete. And that's the juice that I had in life, was competing and putting myself in a position where, okay, can you handle this? Are you able to do this?
And yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. God makes us and puts desires and passions in us. And he made in me a very competitive young man. And so I love to go out there and, hey, win, lose, or draw. Doesn't matter. You know, you just get out there and you're the man in the arena and go for it.
Now, you played with a faith disposition. Did this help you as a professional athlete with the discipline involved and how you, your outlook on playing professional sports, particularly football?
Well, there's no question that there's a discipline that comes with following Christ and a discipline that comes with being a professional athlete. And if you desire to move ahead in your walk with Christ, you're going to discipline yourself to, you know, as much as possible, you know, come get with God in the morning. You got to get alone, and God is there. He's waiting to meet you every single day. And the same way, you've got to get up each and every day and train as a professional athlete. So the two walk hand in hand. There's no doubt about it. But it really is all about, you know, God leading you in the path in your life. And it's been an extraordinary experience for me, that's for sure.
You know, I see, you know, after games, NFL games, I don't think the average viewer sees us because the camera's off, but both teams will gather in the middle of the field, especially before coronavirus, and say prayers. So there's this camaraderie even amongst NFL athletes where faith binds them together.
There's no question about it. Professional football is a rugged life. I know that everybody sees the shiny things that surround the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody sees the enormous amount of money that athletes make.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's true. There's a great benefits to playing in the NFL. But it's also a vocation that has its, you know, you can go to see Ryan Shazier and some of the things that have happened over the years. And there's some danger involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, that's kind of what draws you to it. I grew up in a very, in a brethren assembly as a young man in Buffalo, New York. And it was all about turning the other cheek. And part of my desire to get football was, you know what? When I found out that I could be celebrated for ear-holing somebody or, slamming some people, I was drawn to it. I had the yayas as a young man. I wanted to, you know, participate in that. And that was part of what really drew me over the years to competing. And, you know, that's what, you know, football is such as it is. That's the nature of the game.
Now, this is a national show, so all the people listening have their respective teams that they follow, that they like. But I just read today before this interview that the Pittsburgh Steelers have the number one fans in football. And Craig, I don't think you're going to dispute that. But talk about you've been in Pittsburgh for a long time now, but talk about the passion that goes along with this city and its fan base.
You know, I can take you all the way to the first game I played at Three Rivers Stadium back in 1980. And what just blew me away was walking through the tunnel before you come out onto the field at Three Rivers, standing in the tunnel. And I remember as I'm up against the wall on one side, you know, there's players on both sides. We're in two columns. And I'm standing there, and I'm waiting before we go out of that tunnel onto the field. And I can feel the vibration of 60,000-plus Steelers their terrible towels, screaming and yelling. And it was unbelievable because I'd never experienced electricity like that at that level, as my rookie year in the tunnel, waiting to come out with the Steelers. I remember being in there and looking around and seeing, you know, and having a moment of panic and anxiety, like, can you do this? Are you able to, can you really do this? And I look around, there's Mike Webster, and there's Terry Bradshaw, there's Jack Lambert, there's Joe Green, and there's all these Hall of Famers I'm surrounded by. And there's a calmness in the fact that you have all these great players surrounding you, but you feel that energy that is just moving through the walls and the floor underneath your feet as you hear the Steelers fans. And when you participate in that, you go out and you enjoy that. Oh, it was just incredible. And the city literally, you know, was the city of champions back then, with, you know, both the Steelers and the Pirates having world championships. And then later on, when the Penguins got really hot with Mario Lemieux and that. And it was a fun time in that city because the fans were just ridiculously dedicated and wonderful and kind and just huge in energy.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the professional athletes remain in the city even after their playing days because of that bond they have with the community. Well, Craig Wolfley has been our guest, doing some great work with the Light of Life Rescue Mission in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And if you're in Pittsburgh, be sure to catch Craig on the Pittsburgh Steeler Radio Network. Craig, thanks so much. I really do appreciate the time, not only talking about your career, but the hope within you. And I look forward to seeing you down the road. And thank you so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege and an honor. Nice to meet you, brother. And you know what? Jesus is there for everybody. Everybody.
Amen. Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Craig Wolfley, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.